WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
If you think stress is a new condition, there's a book by Tom Lutz called American Nervousness that presents evidence to the contrary. Lutz says Americans have been feeling overwhelmed by stress since the Civil War. Only then, the condition was diagnosed as neurasthenia. At the turn of the century, when Freud was writing about hysteria in Europe, an epidemic of the disease raged among artists, intellectuals, and politicians in this country. Critic Maureen Cargan says that reading American Nervousness is in itself a nerve-wracking experience.
These days, anybody in America can be stressed out. It's a democratic disorder. But back in the early 1900s, you really had to be somebody special to be diagnosed as nervous or neurasthenic. The list of sufferers Tom Lutz compiles in American Nervousness reads like a turn-of-the-century People magazine profile. Edith Wharton, Fanny Farmer, Theodore Dreiser, Emma Goldman, Gertrude Stein, and Thomas Aikens were all neurasthenic at one time in their lives. That snob, Henry James, was neurasthenic while the disease was fashionable, but when too many Americans began to feel jittery, James snapped out of it. Like the Epstein-Barr virus or yuppie flu that first appeared in the 1970s, neurasthenia was chiefly characterized by exhaustion. But the other symptoms were so murky, it's no wonder that anybody with the money and leisure time to be sick thought they had the disorder. People were diagnosed as neurasthenic if they suffered from insomnia, asthma, baldness, drunkenness, or something called brain collapse. The physician, George Beard, who was known as the father of neurasthenia, tried to cure his patients by zapping them with electricity to replenish vital nerve energy. For those who preferred do-it-yourself treatments, the Heidelberg Electric Belt, with genital attachments, was advertised in the 1903 Sears catalog for $18. Neurasthenia and its quaint cures are easy to laugh at. But Tom Lutz argues that the neurasthenia epidemic of the early 1900s should be taken seriously because of who it struck. Upper-class people who were the caretakers of the culture. Again, like the yuppie flu, neurasthenia may have been triggered by the way a certain group of people were living and thinking. Lutz says that the upper-class victims of neurasthenia were anxious about cultural changes like feminism, the influx of immigrants, and the advent of the consumer society. In other words, the dawning of the modern world gave the upper classes a massive identity crisis. The cures for neurasthenia, apart from quack gizmos like the Heidelberg belt, usually entailed returning the patient to a more secure, old-fashioned way of life. For instance, neurasthenia specialist Dr. S. Weir Mitchell sent male patients like Teddy Roosevelt and Frederick Remington to the Dakotas for exercise cures. Not so different from the wild man weekends some men pay to go on today. Meanwhile, female neurasthenics were prescribed bed rest and treated like infants. But one of these patients, Charlotte Perkins Gilman, got her revenge when she portrayed Mitchell as a diabolical jailer in her famous short story, The Yellow Wallpaper. The most fascinating part of Lutz's book is when he demonstrates how neurasthenia shaped the conservative thinking of some of its victims. Lutz says that Teddy Roosevelt learned to speak more softly and to work more strenuously during his time on the ranches. Thus, from nervousness and its cure was born the rough-riding ethos Roosevelt would translate into a vigorous and imperialist foreign policy. Unfortunately, Lutz's argument isn't always this clear. Every so often, a rash of words like post-liminal and multiversal erupts in his paragraphs. And his anecdotal history of neurasthenia jumps around so skittishly, you wonder if he's sympathetically contracted the disease he's writing about. American Nervousness has a lot of smart things to say about the interaction of disease and culture. But a few jolts from the old Heidelberg belt might have done Lutz's writing style a world of good.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, and this is Fresh Air.